Marla Brooks, host of that bewitching show, Stirring the Cauldron. And you're stirring it up right now with Michael and Ellie on Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
The views and opinions expressed by Paratrinity Radio and their guests are solely theirs and do not represent the views and opinions of ASPRN or its affiliates.
Welcome to Paratrinity Radio. Your hosts, Mike and Ellie, plan to delve into the controversial subject of religion and the paranormal.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord help my soul to keep.
Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred. Powered by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paratrinity Radio.
Tonight is Walton Paranormal Edition.
What kind?
Walton's Paranormal Edition.
Why is it Walton's?
So we can say hi to everybody and goodbye to everybody.
Okay. That just went right over my head. So we'll just leave it right there. I'm Mike, your host.
I am Ellie. I got it right this week.
I remembered our show name. You remembered your name.
Yes.
We're doing good. Off to a great start. But you really confused me there. So.
It's not that hard.
That's true. But yeah, so we have a great show lined up for us tonight. We're actually bringing back a guest we've had on before. Marla Brooks is coming back on tonight, and we're very pleased and honored to have her back. We had a great time talking to her the first time. She had a lot of great stuff to say. For those of you who missed that episode or aren't familiar with her, she is an author, a paranormal investigator, and and she's a witch. That just didn't come out, so I don't know why. She's the author of the Ghost of Hollywood series of books. I believe there's three of them. I was just looking at her website like 2 seconds ago. I think it's three of them. And she has a new book coming out that we will be talking about as well. So we're really looking forward to talking to her. There's a lot of interesting topics that we didn't touch on the first time that I really want to get into this time. And unless you had something else, I'm ready to go.
I'm good.
All
right. I think your tongue flapped enough for both of us.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. So, Marla, how are you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing
great.
Well. Thanks for coming back on to our show with us. It's
great
to have
you. I appreciate you.
Oh, that's nice. Nice
and
to
I was right. It is three Ghosts of Hollywood. Okay. I don't feel so stupid.
Yeah, there are three. I was going to say something, but I figured I'd better wait until you introduce me first.
And Workplace Spells is the other book that I didn't mention, so that's another one. And I'm sure they're three great books. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to read them, but I'm sure they're awesome. So check them out if you get a chance.
I just have one question.
What can I say?
Yes.
I just have one question for you, though, Marla. Your book on workplace spells, what if you work at home and you're your own boss?
Then you should probably not read the book or practice the magic in it. Yeah. Unless it's a thing about bringing more money in, you know, getting a raise, attracting business, that kind of thing.
Right, then I need to get your book.
There you go. Well, you do anyway.
Yes, we should always strive to read more, and I would love to read those books, and maybe I could, you know, work some of those spells on Chris. And
you could.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud, Chris? I was so thinking that.
So what are the spells to be used in a workplace?
For every kind. I mean, there's like over 50 spells in there, so it's just about any dilemma or issue that you would face, it's there to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And even how to create your own spells. So in case I missed anything, you could make up your own.
So what tips would you have for, you know, grabbing some business in there?
You know, it's funny. The simplest way to attract money to a new business is by planting basil. You know, and anybody can do that. The thing is that basil is an herb that attracts money. And if you plant basil seeds, as the seed grows, so is your business going to grow. That's kind of the theory behind it. So you nurture the plant, and it will nurture your business.
Why is it that when you plant that, money would come for you? I mean, what is it about that plant?
You know, there, and I've got a whole section in the book about this. Each herb has different properties. Certain herbs are for certain things. Like rosemary, for example, would be for protection, among other things. Basil just happens to be a money-drawing plant.
In order for spells like that to work, do you have to believe in what you're talking about and what you're saying in the spell?
It helps, yeah.
I go plant some basil, I won't make more money on what I do?
Well, you could be, you know, lots of people plant basil just so they can, you know, spice up their food.
Right.
So there's a whole lot of different ways, but there is an incantation in there that you would do when you planted the seed. And if you repeat that and do it for that particular reason, then you're good to go.
All right. Maybe I'll have to try that.
Yes, we
can always use some money.
Who couldn't?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'd like to ask Chris a question.
I should be scared because you can't even get my name right, let alone yours.
Yeah. Could you use more money, Chris?
Oh, let's see here. Just enough. I don't want a lot, just enough.
Couldn't make it a simple yes or no answer.
I can never.
He's just not being greedy. That's a good thing.
Yes, it's good to not be greedy, but he couldn't have said just yes.
See, if you just say yes, people automatically assume that you want millions and millions and millions, and I don't. I want anything more than $5,000 is too much to me. Because with $5,000, I could do so much in the world.
And that's a scary thought.
Mm-hmm.
People do not donate.
Please, right?
I'm a simple man with simple needs. I don't need a lot. All I need is a driver's license and a car. After that, then I can go and take care of everyone else.
Without forgetting to take care of yourself, too, here.
Well, of course.
You ruined
then.
It.
See, I don't take simple questions.
Alrighty then. So, since we're talking about books, you have a new book coming out sometime this year, correct?
Yeah, sometime this year. That's exactly right. I think it's probably going to be out around Halloween, though.
Okay, and that's called Animal Spells and Magic?
Animal Spells and Magic, that's right. Because we all have our little family members, the four-legged ones and the winged ones and the furry ones and, you know, some of the scaly ones too, I guess, feathered ones. And it's all about them. I'm really big on animals, and I think a lot of people think of them as their kids, and this is kind of a way to take care of your kids. And there's some really good stuff.
Are there special spells for certain animals? Like, would one spell only work for a cat or only for a dog? Or do they all kind of work on all of them?
They're kind of generic, except maybe the horse braid spell. You know, most of our animals, we don't have manes that we could braid, so I suppose that's kind of singular to the horse. But most of them are just kind of crossover spells, you know, spells about keeping them healthy, spells to find a lost pet, stuff like that. It's going to be really neat. It covers all topics. We talk about pet grief. We talk about Reiki for your animals. We talk about animal cards, animal totems. So it's like animals A to Z, kind of.
And that kind of brings me to another topic I'm going to get more into later, but I was listening to the last time you were on our show. I think it was yesterday I listened to it, and I know you believe in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe animals can reincarnate as well as humans?
Mm-hmm. I think they can. I've heard, though, thing that I don't agree with, and people might challenge what I say, but I don't think, like, a dog is going to reincarnate into a human, or a monkey is going to reincarnate into a cat. I think right. when you reincarnate, it's the species that you were before you left is the one you come back with. But I've heard people say, you know, otherwise, and I just kind of don't buy it.
Are there certain spells you can do to kind of help make it happen for them to come back? Or is that just kind of up to them
That's
when they go?
Kind of up to them and up to God or whoever you believe in. Yeah, I don't think we have any control over that. That's kind of, you know, the path that we all follow in reincarnation. It's kind of set out before us. And same goes to animals. Although I have heard cases of people thinking, you know, after they lost a pet, several months later getting a new pet and having it have so many of the traits of the old ones that they were kind of thinking it might be the same pet.
But couldn't they have just kind of seeked out a pet that was very similar?
Well, yeah. But it just seems that the ones that they were talking about, it was just kind of like inadvertent. You know, it was a completely different breed. It was, you know, and you know, and there's even, speaking of that, I've even got horoscopes for pets in the book. The traits that go along with the zodiac signs that would tell you what kind of a pet you're getting ahead of time if you go by zodiac.
Wow.
Yeah.
We got a cat once, and they didn't even know the right sex of the cat, so I don't think the birthday was right either, so I'm not sure zodiac sign would have made a difference for us on that
one. It's hard to tell with cats sometimes. I don't know, especially the ones that have been neutered.
Yeah, this
I've got
this
a stray one in the backyard that I don't know what it is. I think it's a she, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah, this one was a kitten, and my daughter was convinced it was a girl because that's what they said at the store when he got it, and we took to the vet, and he said, nope, that's a boy. So my daughter lived thinking it was a girl until she died.
Mm.
The cat, not my daughter, the cat.
Right,
died.
Right, yeah.
I'll make that clear.
Well, kids don't really, it doesn't make much of a difference to them anyway.
No. Mm-hmm.
Now, the cat might get upset if you named a girl cat a boy's name or vice versa, but, you know, they get over it too.
Yeah.
It's all part of that unconditional love thing.
I often wonder if the cat even knows the difference between a boy name and a girl name.
Smart cats might. I don't know.
He was still young, so.
I think he would notice the difference between Ella or Sam. Maybe.
Well, here's what I know. Well, I know. I've had a couple of animal communicators on my show from time to time, and they say that the animals don't respond to the name per se. They respond to, like, the first syllable. So, you know, like if we had a dog named Chomps, and so it would be, you know, the dog would recognize the ch part of it rather than the whole name or something. Hmm. That's what they said. I don't know.
That makes sense, but at the same time, our cat Sheldon's, I think any word that starts with SH, he'd come running to us.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's you could say all kinds of SH words and the cat would probably come.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That it wouldn't understand whether, you know, it had a boy or girl name because it's just going by the syllables.
Well, and maybe that's why he comes to me so often, because of the SH words I say so often.
Mine have even started coming to their initials. I don't even call Baby Layman his full name anymore. I call him BL and he comes.
Well, Baby B. Yeah, makes sense.
Well, then I've got Bobo, too. So, you know, Bobo, Baby Layman, and Powder. And they come to their initials now.
And I still think those are the oddest names ever. But that
I kind of like them. I like unique names for animals, and those are unique.
Like yes, they are very unique.
Lafrequa, Shaniqua, Lafrog was too big to put on their birth certificate.
Couldn't you get a bigger piece of paper for the birth certificate?
Or just continued on back.
Yeah,
continued on back.
The little arrows or the three dots. Yeah, that'll work.
Yes. So when one is reincarnated, do they come back as the same sex, or can they come back as a male or vice versa?
Well, I don't know from personal experience, but I would say just like with humans, we come back both genders. You know, we've lived in both shoes, both sets of shoes over the years, over their lives. So, yeah, I don't think there's a distinguishing thing that says you got to come back the same. Just the same species, not the same gender.
Okay.
But that, you
so
know,
maybe
that's
this,
my... Go ahead. I'm just saying
maybe
that.
Maybe this is a stupid question, but when you're reincarnated, how do you come back? As a spirit?
Well, you're a spirit before you come back.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
so
when you're reincarnated,
you come back as a,
you're born again. So then you come back living. as something living, yeah.
Living human being?
Or
literally
animal is
again.
The case, maybe, yeah. Yeah, I mean, your spirit comes back, and I mean, technically, I don't know, but, you know, when we pass, we turn into spirit. Well, we stay spirit until we come back, once we're born, back in the body.
So how do we know that we haven't already been reincarnated?
Well, I'm sure we all have. I mean, that's my belief system.
Is that where past life progression comes in, then?
Past life regression, yeah.
Or regression.
Yeah, progression would be kind of neat. Let's see what we're going to be in, you know, the next 300 years. That, well, I think they do that too, actually. But yeah, that's where past life regression does come in. They regress you back to your various lives. Yeah.
I
would hate to know who I was. Because I mean, I'd like to think that I'm a nice person and that I try to do the right thing. But who's to say I didn't before? I'd slap myself.
Well, theory is that we come back each life to improve on the life before, to make up for the mistakes that we made, to, you know, get those karma points going. And so, I mean, the problems that you have in this lifetime, lots of times are related to things in the past. And, you know, when things get really bad, I say I must have been Lizzie Borden because, you know, couldn't have been a nice person to have to go through some of the stuff that we go through now, you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, I must have been a really, really mean son of a you-know-what.
We probably all started out that way, and hopefully we learn and grow and pay the penance while we're here.
Mm-hmm. I would like to think so.
Well, at some point, everyone was just barbaric, and, I mean... It depends how far back you go, but at some point
back
people...
Back to caveman times, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, at some point you're going to be that way if we go back that far.
Well, I think you do. I mean, I don't know how many past lives I've had, but, you know, you hear people say, well, you've had people have had handfuls, and there are people that say you've had hundreds and thousands. But we've had a few, I'm sure. And, you know, that's where kind of deja vu comes in. Sometimes that's where some of our fears come in. You know, people, for example, that are deadly afraid of water in this life but have no reason to be, could have been somebody that drowned in a past life. Mm-hmm. You know,
that
you carry DNA from life to life and some of the problems.
All right. So with reincarnation, is that... I don't know how to word this, but does your God help that happen? That's a terrible way of saying this.
Yes, sir.
Is it religion based? I mean, obviously it's your beliefs, which is your religion, so I guess religion's a bad term, but.
Well, I think, that all, I don't know this, I mean, I haven't done a lot of religious study, but think that many religions do believe in reincarnation. If you're saying, is it your God that puts it together and moves you into it and kicks you out, you know, kicks you back out? I don't know. I just kind of believe that we plan our lives. Once we get on the other side, we plan what we're going to do next. We can choose whether we need to come back or not, whether we want to, when we want to, and to whom we want to. You know, we plan our lives, I believe, before we leave the womb. You know, it's all there before we leave the other side. We plan our challenges, we plan our rewards, we plan the way we're going to live our lives, and, you know, choose our parents maybe according to something that we need to do, or they could have been people that we lived with before in some capacity. I think a lot of us share our lives with people that we have over many incarnations, and maybe in different forms. I mean, you know, maybe somebody that's your mother now might have been your sister then, or, you know, something like that, or, you know, your best friend is now your, could have been your sister. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways to go on that.
I guess new meaning to inbreeder and
in a sense. But, you know, I mean, all right, how do you explain sometimes when you just meet somebody for the first time and you take an instant dislike to them, or conversely, you feel like you've known this person 1,000 years? You know, yeah. Total stranger. So I kind of put it back to the reincarnation thing.
So I guess what I was getting at is, do you think an atheist can reincarnate?
I think so, of course. Just because they don't believe while they're here on the earth plane doesn't mean they didn't before they got here or won't afterwards.
Okay. That's a good point. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. I'm not sure I believe in reincarnation, but...
It's like I always say, you'll find out.
Yep.
Yes, that is true. My whole thing is that I don't want to be close-minded to anything. I think anything is possible, just maybe not everything is probable.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think that anything is impossible, I don't, you know. I like living in the gray. I like to believe that everything is, may not be in the way that we maybe expect it to be, but I think all things are possible.
Well, it makes life much more fun, and you can get through it better if you think in the gray area than always black and white. At least that's my opinion.
Black and white is really close-minded, I think. You know, and those are the people that have a hard time when they're on the earth plane. Those that only see things in black and white because they don't get a lot of stuff. And they're kind of stubborn and they don't bend. You know, those are the ones that are hard to deal with. And I imagine that's a hard life to live.
Yeah, I think we know a few people like that.
We all do.
So, this is kind of a little off topic here, but I had asked if you come back as a spirit and whatever, and is there a difference in your mind between a spirit and a soul?
No.
Okay.
That's just the answer that came to mind. I mean, if you get real technical about it, look up the definition, one or the other, but I think a spirit is a soul.
Okay. I mean, yeah, because I've looked up the definition of a spirit, and that it was along the lines of, you know, breathe life.
And what was the definition of a soul?
I don't remember.
Left a really big impression. That was a very soulful definition, right?
Yes.
As I always assumed they were two different things, but... Since I've started this show, I've heard a lot of people say they're one and the same, so I've...
Well, why, okay, let me turn the tables, I'll put my host hat on for a second. Why do you think, what did you think the difference between the two was?
I think...
Remember that you told me earlier today about stumping the guest? I just turned the tables.
Oh,
hey,
yes,
me.
You did. I can't answer that because I always thought that they were one and the same, but.
I guess I was under the impression spirit was a, I can't answer this question. I can't even pull one out of my rear end. There's no answer coming. But I just thought they were different.
Shall I retract the question?
Yes, please.
Consider it done for now.
Yeah, we need
it'll
to
probably haunt you for a long time.
It will. Yeah. I need to come up with an answer, and I'll let you know. And then I'll have you back on the show just for that answer.
Okay, that'll work.
It'll probably be next week or next month when you finally figure
out.
Oh, I got it.
Mm-hmm. Wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with the answer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's when it usually comes to me.
Oh, yes. Then I'll have to kill you, but in the good way, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm going to be thinking of an answer for that instead of thinking of questions for you.
I'm sorry. But I've done my job. All right.
Yes, you have. Okay. Next question, Mike. What do you think?
It's your next question. I've got lots of questions.
Well, I'm really interested in the reincarnation thing because to me that's fascinating that we could have possibly lived, I guess you could say, since the beginning. Would you think that some people have been around since then?
Well, I thought I was reincarnationed once, but I put too much creamer in my coffee.
Okay.
No comments.
And I hear the collective, oh my God, Chris, shut the hell up.
I was just trying to figure out what that meant, you know, that. But that's okay.
Carnation. You know, you
there you go, coffee. Fine. Just wanted to hear you say it. That's it, to admit to it. Let's put it that way.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, back off the creamer a little bit. Actually, back off the coffee. Okay. Now, so I don't know if you got a chance to answer it before Chris chimed in with his carnation joke, but do you think that some people are limited to a certain amount of lives, or do you think that we're all unlimited and that we've been here since, you know, I guess when Adam and Eve?
That's a good question. Because, hang on just a minute, somebody's buzzing in my ear. I asked David Wells once of Most Haunted, how far, you know, when he went back to talk to spirits and everything, how old is the shelf life of a spirit? Mm-hmm. And he said he honestly didn't know, you know, because you hear about spirits from the old days, you know, the 1800s, the 1500s, the 1400s, all that stuff. But you never hear about caveman spirits. You know, nobody said they've seen an Ugg walking through their house kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
And so I don't know, you know, how far back it goes. I mean, I think we have the choice to do as many lives as we want, when we want, how we want, that kind of thing. But how far do they go back? I don't know. It's a really good question.
But I swear I've
never heard anybody talk about caveman spirits or even, you know, yeah.
Well, I asked that because there was an old movie. I saw it a few years back myself with Barbara Streisand in it. On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, I think was the name of it. And, I mean, it talked about past life regression.
Mm-hmm.
And hers was, I think if I remember correctly, went back to like the time of Adam and Eve, and I just thought about that, and I was just curious to know, well, do we have a shelf life?
Mm-hmm.
And would
I?
My other question is,
yeah,
a lot of times you'll hear people mention that you have an old soul.
Right.
Could that be kind of an indicator that you may have had a past life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me that is. I'm always, like, pointing people out, old souls, young souls, because you can tell. I mean, an old soul is a wiser soul, a savvy soul. Young souls are just, you know, like, you know, walking around, doing their thing, not paying any attention to anything. I don't know if I'm right or wrong about it, but I just can, like, point out a young soul and an old soul and know the difference. It's and that to me has to be an indication of past lives, because with each life comes more wisdom.
And that is interesting, because I've been told as I grew up that I was an old soul or older than I really should be, type of thing.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah, you have that wisdom in your voice. You sound that way.
Thank you.
What do you think you were in a past life? I was told to ask this question by someone in the chat room.
What do I think I was?
Yes.
I have a couple of ideas. But not more or less what I was, but kind of where I was. Because there's certain affinities I think we have to different cultures and different time periods and everything. So, and I haven't been regressed, and I would love to be, to see if I'm right. But I think there was a life in the 1800s in the Wild West kind of thing. I think there was a life in medieval times in Europe, probably England. And there's something about Asia, too, at some point. So I think those are three that I think I've got figured out, but not entirely sure.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and maybe when we get back, we can figure out if you're right or not. And for everyone out there in the chat room and listening, thank you for tuning in tonight. And we're talking to Marla Brooks, and you've been listening to Paratrinity Radio right here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Where nothing is sacred.
For several years. After walking through unwelcoming buildings and ominous cemeteries at night, the biggest challenge I've faced has been finding quality website hosting on a very tight budget. HostYourGhost.com is a high-quality hosting company specifically serving the paranormal community. All HostYourGhost plans include ad-free hosting, email accounts, and an easy-to-use control panel. With packages starting at just $4.99 a month, we scare away the competition. So stop watching your money vaporize and let us host your ghost at HostYourGhost.com.
This is Chris from Tri-State Paranormal, Northern Kentucky. And you're listening to Paratrinity Radio.
Views and opinions expressed.
How many captions did you have to write, Mike, for your book?
Are solely theirs and do not represent the views and opinions of ASPRN or its affiliates.
All right, and we are back on Paratrinity Radio. If you're not here in the chat room listening to us, come on over to asprn.com/studiob.html. We are talking to Marla Brooks, special guest on the line with us since we left for break. We've got Reverend Tim Shaw back on the line.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yay.
Good. Now it's a party.
Now it's a party.
Yes, it is.
Now it's a party. The only thing is I got my pants on, so now I know it's got to be a party. You know what I mean?
I would think it would be the other way around, but, you know, what do I know?
Well, hey, listen, Marla, let me tell you something. You've known me a long time. You don't want to see me in Bermuda shorts, so the pants have got to stay on.
Okay.
So we brought you on because we were talking about past life regression, and I know you do past life readings and stuff, and you're familiar with this.
Well, past lives are, it depends on your belief system. I mean, a lot of people, there's a lot of things that can possibly read into past lives, and that can be anything from true past life experiences all the way to having bad chili for lunch or dinner, and what you might have seen like when you were a kid, and all of a sudden these memories are flooding back. So there's a lot of things that can feed into a past life experience. It's not until you actually go and take the time to find little minute details within the vision or whatever you want to call it, the regression, and actually research it. And that's how you can kind of find out what the real truth of the matter is. And if you've really, you know, believe now that you lived in the past.
What happens if you don't believe it?
Well, then you're
can
one
you
hell of a
regret?
Shock, let me tell you. You're going to work, I'm telling you, you're going to wake up going, oh, man, I knew I shouldn't have drank tequila last night.
But Ken,
and then
do you think
in
that
for
someone
a bigger
that
shock
does...
because... I'm sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you think that someone that does not believe it can be regressed?
I believe that can be regressed, yeah.
Okay.
It's whether they believe it or not. That's a big thing. Whether or not they want to have it, and that's something that would be more spontaneous. A person that doesn't believe in it would not be a good candidate for any kind of hypnosis. So you would have something like that would have to rely. He would have to rely on a deja vu experience, or probably a dream state.
That's interesting you say that. I don't think I believe in reincarnation. I've never really thought about past life regression, but it seems to kind of be one and the same. And I was hypnotized to quit smoking less than a year ago, and it didn't work. It had, like, no effect on me. I think I fell asleep, actually.
See, hypnosis is not for everyone. And you really have got to go, and you have to want to do this in the first place. All the stage magician or a hypnotist, they look for a certain type of person in the audience. People who want to be hypnotized. People who want to be out there. Usually extroverted people who will do that. So there's a specific type of person that responds better to hypnotic suggestion. So I'm not a big regression guy. You know, I mean, to me that like takes forever to do. I would rather hear about someone's dream state or a deja vu experience rather than having them be hypnotized. Also, I mean, again, you know, I mean, you know, like Marla said, she might have had something in the Wild West. I'm not going to, you know, we kind of refer to Marla as the Miss Kitty of Stirring
and that's
the Cauldron.
Actually what I, yeah, that's where
yeah,
it's
yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, Marla, next with your knee-high boots and fishnet stockings. We'll talk about that another night. But but I mean, seriously, you could have watched an old rerun of Bonanza.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, your brain will relate certain things and change it in certain ways so that it relates to you. So, I mean, you have to be very, very careful with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Tim, that's where my problem comes in. Hate to butt in again, guys, but I've out of all the things that I've ever seen on past life regression, there has always been at least one person that has been regressed to being Cleopatra.
Oh,
and I know.
Yeah.
Personally, 30 different people that all claim to have been Cleopatra in their past life. Can a spirit splinter themselves apart and be in so many different people at the same time? Because that does not seem likely to me.
To me, no, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, I do past life readings, which is like mental mediumship, and I pick up different things of what I feel may be a past life. And I have to tell you something seriously. I've never brought through anybody of any social significance. And that's everybody in the world thinks that they're Lincoln or Napoleon. Although I know a lot of little guys that have Napoleonic complexes, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. The thing that we really got to look at here is just how believable it is. I remember as a kid back in the, you know, in the 60s and 70s going to, some of the early psychic fairs where you would have the mediums sitting there and they'd have their turbans on and robes on. Back then, that was all popular. And they, you know, the past life readers, they'd be going, well, you were an Indian princess in this other life and you were this and you were that. You know what? Not one of them was anybody like myself who mucked out a stable, you know, or cleaned the royal privies, you know, or something like that. I mean, you never had nasty, dirty jobs. But yet, those are the type of people that were in abundance. So, very, 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 very few people could actually have been someone of historic significance. Plus, if someone claims or believes that they are of historic significance, then you go and then you force the issue and then you're looking again, once again, for the minute details, which may correlate into some sort of, you know, might be able to go and you might be able to bring something that you might believe is related to it, something that would have some kind of a little bit of a ring of truth to it. Otherwise, what you're doing is just spinning a good yarn.
Well, those people with the turbans, though, aren't those the ones that you should kind of turn and run from to begin with, because they're going to tell you what you want to hear? Because
watch
everybody would like to think they were, you know, yeah, I know, the turban.
watch it, little sister. I've got one.
No.
I just don't wear it in public.
True.
Or with my pants on, for that matter.
But those are the ones, I mean, you know, we all know that there are mediums out there or fortune tellers or whatever, you know, a bunch of charlatans out there that will tell you anything as long as you, you know, put $5, $10 in their hands.
You know what? I get for this all the time. And guys, I really do, because I'm kind of outspoken on it. As an instructor, I have got to know how to cold read a client. I have to do this so that my students, when they're reading, I have to tell whether they're cold reading a client. You know what? There are a lot of people out there that are nothing more than sideshow carnies.
Exactly.
They go and they spin a good yarn, but boy, I'll tell you what, they're just princes and princesses of cold reading. Now, you have to watch what you're doing. And you know what? In a situation like this where we're not regulated by the government, it's buyer beware. And so you have to be very, very careful who you go to. And again, I'm going to get 1,001 emails because I just slam people who are wearing turbans, you know.
You know, I mean, I agree with that. And the sad thing is that most of the people that go to these people don't know the difference between somebody that's credible and somebody that isn't. And
I
a lot of people kind of fall into that you get what you pay for thing. So right, the ones exactly. that are asking, you know, $600 for half an hour, people might think that they're getting, you know, the filet mignon rather than the hamburger, and not realizing that those that are in it for the right reasons are the ones that don't charge.
Well, right? That's exactly it. Because we live in a Western culture. If you go back to Reiki circles, Mrs. Takata, who brought the Reiki system to the United States, she charged $10,000 in order to train someone to go to that master teacher level. Why did she do it? Because she said the Western mind does not appreciate anything or respect anything that is not does not have a large monetary value to it.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that's the hurtful thing. That's what's messing people up when they do go to get readings and fall into that category. They just don't know the difference.
So what are some signs to look out for to know that you are getting someone who's just a cold reader as opposed to someone who is got a true gift?
Someone who asks a lot of questions. Someone who talks a lot before the reading. I mean, basically, when somebody comes to me for a reading, hi, how are you? If if they haven't been, sat before me before, I mean, I'm not going to say, well, gee, how are you? You know, another thing is watch what you're wearing. You know, I mean, don't wear something that's a clue to your personality. If you love dogs, don't wear a dog T-shirt. If you love cats, do yourself a favor. Brush yourself off. Get the cat hair off of you. These are little things that people will pick up on. Keep your hands low. Watch a medium's eyes. Medium should be looking you in the eye. A medium should be looking off to the side. Should not be scanning your hands. Should not be scanning a book or, let's say you brought a purse or something, and should not be looking at that stuff. Those are all subtle clues. The other thing is you have to watch because, mediums, I tend to look at people in the eye, and then I'll break off because I don't want to, I try not to go and get their facial reactions. And what will happen is, I mean, if you look to the left or to the right, I can tell whether I hit or I didn't, and I can tell just by a little flicker of your ear or by your, the corner of your lip, whether I'm hitting a soft spot or a sore spot or a sorrow spot. So you have to be very, very careful. That's why, I laugh all the time about, me looking up in the air, talking to Gazoo. Well, you know what? I have to do that because of the fact I don't want to see it. I want to give somebody an honest reading. The other thing you got to look for is someone who has ethics. You got to be very, very careful with that. I'm pretty anal about ethics, and my students kind of dislike me because I force so much ethics on them. The reason I force the ethics is because I believe in karma, and whatever goes around comes around. And if I'm going to go and I'm going to go cheat somebody, boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to come back to me 10 times.
Yep. The other things, I think, one of the things that gets me are alphabet psychics. An A? Is there an M? Is there a P?
Well, but but now Marla Jean, dear sister Marla.
Yeah.
That's an old way of doing it.
Well, it is, but
it's called we call it here in the U.S. we call it fishing expeditions, but you go over and you go to England and you get trained by the people at Arthur Findlay College there. If they're going to stand up there and they're going to say, listen, I got a Ray here, and who's got this? And he was in the Vietnam War at this time. Who can take him? And that's pretty big over there. See, here in the United States, we are in the fast food lane, so it's like, right. I'm going to come to you and ABCD. So they're just two diverse ways of doing it. So you have to be very, very careful. And then, of course, you have people in gallery that'll sit there and go, oh my God, please pick me, please, and they'll just jump at anything. Listen, I got a Ray. Well, my aunt's name was Rachel. Is that close? And the medium will go, oh yeah, okay, that's close. Sometimes.
Well, they're so desperate. Sometimes people are so desperate to make a connection with someone on the other side that, people that are sitting in the gallery will take one little bit of what the psychic says and apply it to them, and then even if it isn't quite there. And you've seen that. I mean, I've seen that on John Edwards' show.
Oh, yeah. Mental matrixing is normal.
Yeah. You know, well, it could have been my great uncle because he was, you know, in the war. But then they're talking about something completely different. But the person in the gallery is stuck on that particular sentence, you know, and so mm-hmm. to that person, it can't be anybody else but his great uncle kind of thing.
Exactly. But as always, you hear what you're supposed to hear. You know, that's exactly what it is. But again, now you got the phenomena of piggybacking that people don't realize. You could be reading one person and the person behind them, that could be what the message is for. I've been in situations where I've given half a message in church, had to stop, go to somebody else, and then come back and restart the message for this other person again. So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, variables in it. So that's one of the things that we have to watch out for.
Yeah, and especially like, okay, when you're talking to somebody and giving a reading, the spirit that you're talking to might bring in the spirit of somebody else that's in the gallery or something, you know, because that one's kind of pushy and trying to get through. So, yeah, there are a lot of variables.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but it's very, very calm. Very, very calm. What do you think about the whole thing, Ellie?
Well, seeing as how I'm not a psychic or a cold reader, well, no. I think everybody kind of has a little cold
everybody
reading abilities.
Everybody has psychic abilities. Everybody does. There's nobody here that doesn't. There's nobody that can't do what I do. I mean, everybody can do it.
I would like to try that one day. Interesting.
It's no big deal. See, that's the big thing. Everybody thinks it's such a big thing. It isn't. It isn't. It's just listening. That's all. It's listening.
Well, I'm a great listener. I've been told that. So.
See? You're all set. You already got 9/10 of it done.
Yeah. Now you just have to know what you're listening to. Because
right.
A lot of people, that's what they worry about.
Usually for me, I'm just listening to see if they're full of it or not.
A good psychic has a great BS meter.
Uh-huh. So does everyone have the ability to be a medium as well? Just like everyone has psychic in them?
Yep. Everybody can do it. All you got to do is want to do it.
It is scary, though.
I would think it would be kind of scary because, I mean, you'd say, okay, I want to do this, and you get trained, and then you wake up the next morning, and there's 5 dead people sitting at the bottom of your bed staring at you. I think that would be kind of freaky.
Well, wait a minute. I don't know. Hey, Ellie, you've never seen my family yet.
The living ones or the ones on the other side?
The ones on the other side I don't worry about.
Maybe we should, huh?
No, yeah. The ones on the other side are cool. It's the ones on this side that are always hitting you up for money.
Well, what Ellie just said actually sparked something in me. I've been helping guide a girl who just got a big kick in the pants with her abilities. They were asleep through most of her life. She's just turned 33, so she's, you know, getting into where everything should have already had been there, and it just got a violent thrust into being active. And one thing that she keeps asking me is, whenever she gets an impression, whenever she gets a vision, and she speaks to the spirits, she never hears a spirit's voice. She always hears her own. Is that commonplace?
Sure. Spirit doesn't have vocal cords, thus it doesn't have an ability to create sound. So what it'll do, it will affect the vibrational fields in a way that you're least afraid and that you can understand the easiest. I mean,
sometimes kind of like when you're sitting there talking to yourself and having conversations.
Listen, I talk to myself religiously. I don't have to have a spirit standing next to me. I'm like the bag man down the street. Are you kidding me when I'm running around? No, you can just talk to yourself. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, that's all it is. That's what it sounds like. I'm at the point now where I don't even get the voices anymore. I mean, you just get the impression of the emotion or the thought. So, I mean, it's just a way of doing it. And as you evolve and as you grow in mediumship, things get quicker, things get finer. So, yeah, that's real common, Chris. I mean, super, super common.
So how do you tell the difference between your, you know, your abilities are growing and you're starting to talk to people from the other side as opposed to just you're going nuts and you've got schizophrenia?
You know what? I haven't been asked to jump in front of a car yet. I haven't gone and given all my money away to charity, and I haven't decided to go and become a bag man in true life. I live a normal life. I don't think any. So long as you don't change your personality, that's a real big thing. If there's any kind of changes in your personality, well, then you might have a problem. But if you are the same person that you always were, you might grow a little bit, be a little bit more mature, a little bit more spiritual in your life. But otherwise, you're just the same person that you were.
When you hear the voices, do they sound like voices you recognize, you know, or are they just kind of, I don't know, generic voices?
To me, they've always been generic voices, unless I hear them audibly. Every so often I'll hear something audibly. That's a little bit different. But the ones that whenever I'm working, no, they're just whatever. I mean, I'm at the point where it just doesn't, I don't care, because the message is more important than anything else.
What about you, Marla?
I don't know. I've heard, my thing is that I hear them when I'm like in bed getting ready to go to sleep, and somebody will scream my name and I don't know who it is, and I think that's really rude. But it's loud. It's a voice I don't know, but that's the only time I hear things. If I'm doing a reading with tarot, I usually get the impressions. I don't hear them audibly, but I can't tell you how many times I've woken up with somebody screaming my name in my ear to get my attention, and it's so annoying because that's all it is. There's no follow-up. It's just like, okay, we're going to yell at her and get her up. You know, it's like, oh, God.
And may I make a note here? Marla is, when I had the CBS show going over on Psychic Radio, we had Marla on. And she actually was doing readings, and she underrates herself way too much, because Marla is a great mental medium. She uses tarot, but she's a good mental medium too. So,
can you do tarot readings if you have no psychic or medium ability? I mean, can you go strictly from what the cards symbolize?
Yeah, I think people do, but I don't, because there's a couple of different schools of thought on that. Some people can read tarot, again, just as you said, by the symbolism on the cards, because each card has a thing. But a good tarot reader will not rely solely on that. And the other thing is that, like they tell you right off when you buy a tarot deck, take each card and look at each card and see what it tells you. Doesn't necessarily have to be the message of the card, like the Fool card in the deck. You know, the first card, some people will just say, okay, well, that's the Fool. You know, it means that you're just at the very basic level. You're looking for education. You're looking for information, you know, like a little baby would be learning and stuff. Somebody right. else might look at the Fool card and see something else in it. And that's the thing that you have to go with. You know, the cards have their basic meanings, but you have to kind of, and I don't want to say psychically, but it may be that, attune yourself to what the cards are telling you. So when you're doing a reading and you lay out a bunch of cards in front of you, you can either go by the standard message of what each card conveys, and it's going to be kind of boring unless you really look at it and pick up those impressions that go around it and around the situation. Makes it a little bit easier, yep. But yeah, I think anybody can read tarot. I mean, yeah.
Because it seems like if you just go by what the card symbolizes, any card can kind of fit into everybody's life. I mean, at one point or another, that will be true.
Yeah,
so,
in a way,
I mean,
it
doesn't seem like the verification would be there. Whereas
no,
if you add in your own, go ahead.
Your own impressions, yeah. Then,
yeah. I mean, yeah, if you have that gift that you add in your own impressions, that would make it a little more unique to that person.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're coming up on the 12 o'clock hour, so we need to take another quick break here. It'll be about 5 minutes long, so We'll be back in about 5 minutes. You've been listening to Paratrinity Radio,
where nothing is sacred.
On the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Website at unexplainedmag.com. That's unexplainedmag.com.
This is Don Shy, the parapublicist, and you're listening to Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
Everybody, and we are back. You're listening to Paratrinity Radio at Yeah. On the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, if you're not in the chat room, come over to asprn.com/studiob.html. And we are talking to Marla Brooks. And
do you honestly think that people can write as fast as you just said that?
I can Google it. But I didn't finish introducing our guests. I got to finish. And
that's why I stopped you right before you introduced them. Reintroduce them.
All right, we're talking to Marla Brooks, and we've got Tim Shaw as a special guest on the line as well. So, coming back to the show here, I wanted to kind of get started on a completely different subject. And on the last time, on January 9th, the last time you were on the show, Marla, you had said that Wicca or Wiccan has no dogma.
Right.
And since then, I have heard that religion, in order for there to, or I guess the definition of religion means that there has to be dogma in order for it to be considered a religion.
I would say that's just hearsay. I mean, I don't believe it because, I mean, to me, dogma is just pounding something into you over and over and over again. And it may be even against the things that you believe in. You know, I mean, it's kind of like that's a way to keep you there, you know. They're gonna grab you and hold you with all that dogma. And, I kind of believe more in free will. And
so then, if it doesn't need dogma, then couldn't atheism be a religion?
Atheism is a religion, so is skepticism.
Haha.
Because each has their own beliefs.
There you
go. Right, and a group of people follow those beliefs.
Exactly.
So that would make them religion.
But exactly. That's by their own choice, I think, like with atheists and things or agnostics. That's their own choice. Nobody's beating that into them.
So, yeah. In the Wiccan religion.
Go ahead.
In the Wiccan religion, you have a strict, I don't want to say strict, but you have basic guidelines of.
You have basic guidelines, but they're not strict guidelines. And I think we were talking about this the last time when I was on, that if you're Wiccan, for example, you can also be Buddhist, you could also be Jewish, you could also be Catholic. You don't have to negate your previous beliefs or things that you believe in to practice Wicca.
Whereas if you were Jewish and you go to Christianity, you do have
to
kind of switch.
Go to hell, yeah. Uh-huh, if you believe in hell. But, yeah, but that's...
Aren't Christians kind of against witches? I mean, wouldn't look bad on you?
Yeah, but, you know, paganism has been around a lot longer than Christianity, and,
right.
I mean, case in point, pagans or Wiccans, you know, certain witches don't believe in the devil. That is the product of Christianity. They are the ones that named Lucifer, and they're the ones that created Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably to scare people into not being pagan anymore. You know, good, bad, you know, good versus evil kind of thing. And that's
too many
just
of
another...
You, too... Go ahead, Marla, I'm sorry.
No, I was done. Go.
Well, what we're talking about is nothing more than a point of control. It was a point of control and morality plays. That's all dogma is. That's all the religions, the organized religions really do. That's all they do is they force upon someone's belief system upon the masses in order to become self-fulfilling. Self-fulfilling in a way so the organizations themselves actually stay, sustained. You have to watch that. Too many people confuse dogma. Too many people confuse religion. Too many people confuse all these terms. When in reality, what we have to watch out for is the fact that, you know what? At the end of the day, whatever makes you happy is what you should be doing and how you should believe. This control was necessary back in the old days, back in medieval times, in order to hold nations together. The Bible was put together by Constantine during the Council of Nicaea after he conquered and reunited the Holy Roman Empire. So you have to look at the political ramifications of why these things were done. And morality plays I'm going to be honest with you. Most of these are all morality plays. It's protecting your virgins, protecting your breeding stock. If you look at the Old Testament is a great way to live. It tells you how to eat. Tells you when to bathe. It tells you hygiene if you start studying it. The problem is too many people start bandying around different words that have never gone and taken the time to read the Bible from front cover to back cover. So you have to watch these things.
Yeah, and that's a great definition. Right. I mean, that's a really, really good explanation of it.
It is an excellent explanation of it because sometimes, like Mike mentioned, you hear that in order to be a religion, you have to have dogma, but when you look up the definition of religion, a lot of the portions of it don't even mention dogma.
Well, it's
the
true.
The definition I found is a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. It's a shortened version of the definition.
But is dogma that, or is dogma control? It's what you've just said, Mike. Is that spiritual? Is that your own spirituality? See, depends on who wrote the definition.
Right. Okay, I've got one now. I looked it up earlier myself. And it said it's a principle or set of principles laid down by an authority as incontrovertibly true.
Mm. Wow.
Boy, that's a big word for me.
Yeah.
That's after midnight. I can't think like that, Marla. You're on LA time.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm just reading. And then underneath it in italics, it says, the Christian dogma of the Trinity, the rejection of political dogma.
The rejection of political? What's political dogma then?
I don't know. Okay, and here's the rest of the boring definition. The origin is mid-16th century. And it says, via late Latin from Greek, dogma meaning opinion, from a word that I can't pronounce meaning seems good or thinks.
Sounds an awful lot like do as I say, not as I do.
Well, yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, that's pretty much what it is.
I mean, all religions start off for the right reason. All religions start out honoring a higher purpose and you band together to protect your own tribe, basically, if we break it down to primeval situations. However, what happens inevitably over the passage of time, it becomes a political, egotistical thing where the organization is more important than the actual congregants. Now, this is where I have a lot of problems with organizations, including my own, because the religion no longer meets the needs of the congregants, yet year after year, age after age, generation after generation, we repeat the same tired prayers, the same tired utterings, the same rituals, when they no longer apply to what we live in, to this age that we live in. So organizations, inevitably, if they do not change with the time, change their rules, and allow the dogma to be fluid rather than an instrument of pain and control, that is the only way that true spirituality in the individual can be nurtured within a religious organization.
I think control is the key word there.
I think so,
too.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I mean, back in the Middle Ages, Middle Ages and back, people were not allowed to read the Bible. They weren't allowed to touch it. It had to be people who were studying to become priests or pastors or, whatever they were called at that specific time.
Only the elite knew how to read.
Right. Mm-hmm. And as you just said, only the elite were allowed to read. So it made sure that people couldn't interpret the Bible in their own ways. They had control over that. And then as people were able to read, that's when they started getting a little scared, and they probably added more stuff.
Well, actually, see, they were afraid that once the common person began to read the Bible, they would be able to go and interpret it. Until that time, only the chosen were able to interpret this, and the chosen elite. Also remember that in Europe, they weren't so much countries as city-states. Mm-hmm. And if you were excommunicated by the papacy, you lost everything. You have to remember that. So dogma and the Bible were as political as the armies that protected it.
It's a scary thought.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's true. I mean, when you think about it, look at Martin Luther when the Protestant Reformation came to be. Look what happened in Europe. It became a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Became a bloodbath. Why was that? Because he brought the word of God to the common man. He dared thumb his nose at the Roman Catholic authorities, and it just erupted. It erupted. Yet what did he really do? If you look at what he posted on that wall, on that door, a lot of it were things that if the powers that be were in a fluid motion, they would have been able to go realize that, and you would have had just a strong organization, but you would have a happier congregate. So, I mean, these are things that have to be the political ramifications of religion are something that can never be underestimated when you start discussing dogma. And what happens is too many people take the word of the word of God, I'll just say that in a general term, from the Bible, as absolute truth, when we don't absolutely know. I mean, whether this was channeled or what, where did the word come from? And also, let's look at it. What were these gospels that were not included at Nicaea when the scholars came to form the Bible? Did they become the basis of the Gnostic Bible, the Gnostic Gospels? Were these the Gospels according to Mary Magdalene? Who knows? Who knows? We can't answer that question. So if I can't answer that question in a positive form, I look at something that has been passed down and revered as something that is a great history book. I believe it's a great morality play. I think it's a wonderful way to live. I really, truly do. However, I have to question it, you know? I mean, I do, and I can't take it as absolute gospel truth. And that's where I kind of part ways with so many different religious organizations, including my own.
And I think that's kind of a problem that I've kind of had. I was in Catholic school for kindergarten through high school, and I was told what I'm supposed to do to church every Sunday because my parents made me go to church. And I was told what I should believe, and I was told I am Roman Catholic. So since I've stopped going to church and stopped being told all this, I've really, really questioned my faith and what my real beliefs are. And I think it's because I've just taken what the Bible says, what the priests say as the truth. And I haven't actually tried to figure out
what it means to
what
you.
What it means to me.
Mike, well, you know what the bottom line is? Seriously, what the bottom line is? Do you believe in something higher than yourself?
Yes.
That's all you need to believe. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keep it simple, stupid. That's the way I preach. And believe me, if that's all, seriously, that's all you need to believe. You don't have to, I mean, some people like all the little fancy trappings, and some people want ritual. Some people need that in order to reinforce their belief systems. Other people like myself, I believe in a higher power. That is all I need to know.
So, and that's Marla, what I always say when people ask, you know? I mean, I don't care who you believe in as long as you believe in someone, something. Sorry,
so
I interrupted your question.
No, you're fine. So when somebody's interested in becoming Wiccan, mm-hmm. Do you tell them what would you suggest to them to keep it simple so that they, you know, don't go, oh my God, this is just so much. Where do I start?
Well, I don't think anybody has that feeling. I mean, I didn't. You know, as with anything, whether you're a psychic, whether you're an empath, whether you're a witch or whatever, you need to study, you know, you need to learn about it. You need to look at different sources and form your own opinion and go in the direction that's most comfortable for you. And again, that's where no dogma comes into play. You can be a practicing witch in many different capacities. I mean, yes, I say I'm Wiccan, but in a sense, it's a label that I don't like. You know, mm-hmm. Basically, I'm pagan. Basically, I'm a witch. Do I follow the tenets of Wicca, you know, and ye harm none and the threefold law and things? Yeah, I do. Because I believe in karma. I believe in that retribution. But can I say I'm 1,000% Wiccan and follow everything? I mean, the Wiccan read kind of outlines what Wicca is all about, and, you know, it's all over the internet. You can read it. It gives you guidelines. It doesn't say this is what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what you have to be. This is, you know, their opinion of the right way to do things, and if you agree, fine. If you don't, you know, nobody's going to kick you out to the curb for it. You know, we all have our different belief systems, and that's what we need to follow. You know, belief in a higher authority and belief in yourself and your thoughts and your feelings. I think that's
now, my
the
friend,
most important.
Now, as Marla knows, I know Ray Buckland, the guy who brought the Gardarian tradition here to the U.S., and I've known him for a couple of years now, and I've often asked him similar questions. And he said to me, he goes, well, he says, there's so many different ways that Wicca has now morphed. And I had asked him if it was diluted in some way since he started practicing and when he brought it here. And he says, oh God, yes. He says, yeah, it's so diluted. He says, in order sometimes to be on the safe side, he goes, he would say that many people out there, instead of being Wiccans, are more magicians or witches or something of that nature. And the reason why the name Wicca came about was the fact that people did not want to say the name witch, because when he brought it over, of course, and even before that with Gardner over in England, witches and witchcraft was still on the books. You could be punished for it. So, I mean, there's a lot of connotations behind that. Historically, you have to watch that. So, in this day and age, you know, what is the true Wiccan religion? I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. I myself, I'm eclectic, as my little sister tells you, Marla. Marla brings me up, forces me out of the broom closet like weekly.
Yeah.
And as much as I strive to say that I'm a spiritualist, I will say that I do have some practices that I've picked up from the Wiccan religion and from other influences, Native American, that I happen to use. And so that would make me more of an eclectic, and I like to sometimes call myself that.
Right. And people, just so you know, that who are listening, the broom closet is totally different than the regular closet.
Listen, whatever fits on a Friday night, you know what I mean?
Or a Saturday.
Yeah, that's right.
So is spiritualism very similar to the, I hate to say after what we just talked about, but the Wiccan religion? Is it?
Yes and no. Yes and no.
It's in my research, it seemed to have a lot of very similar lyrics.
I think they're very similar in things that I've heard. And then shamanism also kind of jumps in there.
Yeah, spiritualism, true hardcore old traditional spiritualism, is a lot different than Wicca. However, when you start going off into its offshoots, they have a lot more similarities, and all of them are earth-based religions. Spiritualism is definitely an earth-based religion. So is Native American shamanism. You know, Wicca, witchcraft. So they're all bases.
I have a question that's kind of a little off topic. As I was reading about the Wicca, I saw on one website that it is considered a neo-pagan religion, and then another one, it seemed to separate Wicca from paganism.
Paganism is an umbrella term for all the practices, the paths, the witch paths. You know, pagan basically means a pagan is somebody who doesn't belong to organized religion. So in truth, Buddhists are pagans, Hindus are pagans, you know, witches are pagans. So, you know, people just say, well, what's the difference between paganism and Wicca? Well, there isn't. I mean, it's a contradiction in terms, in a sense. You know, like I said, pagan just means you don't belong to an organized religion. And I think there are as many people or many variations of Wicca or any pagan religion as there are people that practice. you know, I'm a solitary practitioner. I don't belong to a coven. My thoughts may be different. There might, speaking of dogma, there may be dogma in covens, you know, do it our way. Just like there's dogma amongst paranormal investigators, you know, my team does it this way, this has to be the right way kind of thing.
Oh, you know? Horrors, Marla, never.
Never.
So being a, I think you called it a hedge witch last time, is that the right term?
Uh-huh.
How did you choose to go that direction instead of being a coven? Are the belief system, are the beliefs different between each coven and
again,
your beliefs?
There's nobody telling me what to do. I can form my own opinions. I can go in the direction that I want to, following certain tenets. I guess some people, as was mentioned before, some people have a group mentality and they do better in groups.
Right.
The organization of groups. I do better on my own. And, you know, again, there are basic tenets that we all kind of try to follow, but, you know, I don't think one is better than the other. It's back to an individual choice, you know. Some, like
right.
I said, some people like to follow, some people like to lead, some people say, leave me alone, I'll do it my way.
And I think a big part of the way I think when I think about it is coming from a Roman Catholic, a strict Roman Catholic background, which is a very organized religion. So.
Right, and I mean, a lot of times you learn that paganism is bad and it's a terrible thing and you shouldn't want to be a pagan or you're going to go to hell or something silly like that.
The question is, what happens if you don't believe in hell like I don't and Marla don't? So where are we going?
You're going
somewhere fun? I don't
TGI
know.
TGI Fridays and ice cream.
So long as they have a good buffet and a bar, life is
good.
Yeah,
it's all about the food, honestly.
And you never gain a pound, even if you're a woman.
That's always a lesson.
I'm ready. I'm ready for that one.
The lack of weight gain is a good thing, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that part. But wasn't there something about...
Don't whisper it, what?
No, I'm not whispering it. I'm trying to think. Because I like Greek mythology, and I had a question about Greek mythology. And I cannot think of it.
I don't know what it was either, but that was something I did want to talk about. We don't have much time here, but I know that, Marla, you had said earlier when we talked that the goddesses and gods of your religion are they based on the Roman and Greek and Indian gods?
Well, no, they are them, the deities. There are deities from Romans, Greeks, Hindus, you know, it depends on who you call it. I mean, the list of deities could fill a book in of itself. In spell work, you know, for example, if you want to do a spell that has to do with water, you could call Poseidon. If you want to have a message delivered, well, you could call up Mercury. If you're doing moon magic, you can call up Diana. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. If you're really mad at somebody, you call Kali Ra. That's not a good deity. and that's why I named my dog Kali? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I mean, the deities that we call on are from all those different things. I mean, deities that you've heard mythologically and the ones, you know, the Greeks, the Romans, they're all over the place. It's your decision on who you call to help you with certain spells, depending on the subject matter and the ones that are tied into it. And, I mean, you know, you get any list and look up something for water spell, for example. You got 50 different deities, you could flip a coin. So it's just, I think certain people cling to certain deities that they're more comfortable with or more familiar with or something, but they're from all different aspects.
Could you be mono? Well, of course you could. Let me rephrase this. In order to do spells correctly, you were talking about you would call upon different deities. If you're, say, Jewish and Wicca, how would you kind of combine the two in that sense.
Well, there are Jewish deities that you could call on as well. I mean, if you're going in that direction,
mm-hmm.
you know. But the other thing is, you don't need to call a deity always to do spell work.
Okay.
You know, you can do simple candle spells and just talk to your guides, or just, you know, send out your intent. It's more of the ceremonial things where you'll call on the guides and the elements and things like that, which we don't do every day.
Well, so if I were, as a Roman Catholic, if I were to go into the Wiccan and being taught as a Roman Catholic to believe in one God and only one God and have no other gods, would that be the way I would go without bringing in the deities?
You could bring in the saints. Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you're doing an animal spell, for example, you could call on St. Francis to help you. You know, you could go for the saints, and people do. It's whatever you're comfortable with, whoever you trust in.
But don't we believe in multiple gods? Because we believe in Jesus, and we see him as God, too.
No.
That's a little different because of the fact the Trinity, that's one, that's right. Three in one.
Yeah.
Okay. Father, Trinity. The Son, so there's only one God.
Mm-hmm. But he's three things.
Right. Which is
never
also
made sense to me.
No, well, me either. I take them, the Trinity, as separate entities for some reason.
But we all, but for whatever reason, I mean, you have one supreme being, and you have different facets of it. And then you have lesser facets, which turns out to be the angels, and which the lesser facet than that turns into the saints. So, I mean, you have to look at it in that direction. So, actually, Catholicism has a lot of deities that they worship. I mean, how many Catholics go out there when they need a special favor and they pray to Saint Jude, the patron saint of lost, of lost hope? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people go and invoke? We know that Pope John Paul II was a huge believer in Fatima and Mary. So, I mean, we have in a lot of the religions, we have other deities, which is in the Protestant Reformation, that was a big thing. That's why they stripped away so many of the saints and the angels and that sort of thing, in order to go and get back to a more direct worship system.
So the word deity doesn't mean God. A God.
No, it just means deities to me are just Any kind of entity above man.
Right. Okay. I agree. Yeah.
I think that's where my confusion was. I assumed deity was equal to a god. Okay. So then that makes more sense. And
depends on your definition of a supreme being.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I still think there's one supreme being, and everybody else just goes down the ladder until they get to us.
And there was one last thing I wanted to bring up before we stop the show here. And you had mentioned it, that I could bring it up if we got bored. And, well, we didn't get bored, as I thought.
We didn't get a chance to get bored.
The spring equinox, or Ostara, is that how you
Ostara,
say it?
Ostara, the summer solstice. Ostara. I mean, the spring, spring equinox, Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, What symbolism
does that hold to you, I guess?
Well, it's a time of fertility. It's a time of rebirth. It's a time when we come out of the dark and into the light. It's a time when the day and night equals each other. And it's spring, just in the definition that everybody thinks of spring, warm weather, planting, you know, fertility, all that good stuff. And that comes up around Easter every year. And I started to read something the other day, an article about the similarities between organized religion, Easter, Catholicism, mm-hmm. and spring equinox, and I didn't I didn't get to finish it. But it,
I do know exactly what you're talking about. I do recall reading that, and I'll have to bring that, see if I can find it again, and I will happily read it on air or something, or
yeah, it
send it to you.
It was quite interesting, actually, but,
It was very interesting, because it also kind of reminded me of the fact that when you think of Greek or Roman mythology, and how a lot of those things seem kind of similar to mm-hmm. Roman Catholicism as well.
Yeah. And each
makes
culture,
you wonder,
I think,
if somebody forgot to, you know, write the, what is the term, the bibliography?
Yeah, or tie it all together. Yeah, I mean, if you think of it, coming up in Judaism, Passover is coming. In Catholicism, we have Easter. And, you know, Ostara also. They're all basically the same. The same celebration of spring, of coming into light, and all that stuff that I just mentioned. So, you know, they're all kind of one tied into the other.
Right.
Is Ostara the... I've never heard that term. Do you know where that came from?
Yeah, Ostara is the goddess, and that's where they named it after. And strangely enough, that's where the word estrogen came from. And I read this whole long thing about it, and that's what stuck in my head. That Ostara is where what estrogen came from. That is so typically a woman thing to think of.
So is there a holiday for men to get testosterone?
not on the holiday wheel for pagans. Not that I know of, no. Maybe somebody should create.
You mean Budweiser isn't a pagan holiday? Wait a minute, I missed something.
Well, I did read that, the goddess Ostara is the personification, I just picked up my notes real quick, of the rising sun, and she is identical to the Greek Eos and the Roman Aurora. So there is your trilogy there.
Mm-hmm. And that answers my question, where it all comes from and stuff, too.
Oh, good. Handy-dandy notes come in handy every so often. Yeah.
Yep.
And being able to grab them up quick is a good thing, too.
Not to insult anybody, but it just seems so much more happy instead of what we celebrate, which is a death and then the resurrection. Just doesn't sound that happy.
Celebrating spring and rebirth and all that, and does sound much more exciting. I agree.
Yeah,
but the Easter bunny's awesome.
Bunnies and Easter eggs and things like that,
Yeah, but now, guys, to tie it all together, always remember, what is Easter? And Easter is the celebration of resurrection. What is a resurrection? Resurrection is simply a life coming back, a soul coming back to the earth. It's all relevant. Could it be reincarnation? Could it be life after death? Could it be communication? Could it be everything pagan? Of course it could be. Everything is based on something, and most of it is based on the pagan religions.
And that was kind of what I was thinking about when we were talking about reincarnation, and I said I don't really believe in it, and I'm thinking, or should I believe in it, because I believe in what we celebrate at Easter, the resurrection.
Well, now it's actually a rabbit going around pooping eggs, but...
Yeah, well, commercialism has reared its ugly head, but yes.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to thank you both for taking the time to talk to us tonight. It's been a great, great show tonight, very interesting and...
And again, we are so honored to have you guys on, and thank you so much for answering our not stupid, but maybe a dumb look giving question.
Never a dumb question, guys. Yeah. Always remember that. If you don't know the answer, you ask. It's only dumb people that don't ask.
Yes. Perfect.
That's true.
Exactly.
But there are times when sometimes you get asked a question and you can't help but drop the jaw and look at them like, what are you, an idiot?
No, I usually look at them and say, wait a minute. Why are you asking me a question like that? What's wrong with you? It's after lunch. Let's go. Don't talk to me. Go. Leave me alone.
Luckily on the radio, we can't get the looks. So.
But if you're psychic enough, you can tell. Yeah. Pick up on that.
Oh, yeah. It's when that dead silence after you ask a question, you know something's wrong.
Sometimes I like to do that just to aggravate them, but that's just me. I guess that's savage amusement.
Yeah. Selfish amusement, absolutely.
You got to have fun sometimes.
It is. At other people's expense sometimes, yeah, I guess. I try not to, but hey, that's just me. Because I know if I do it, it's going to come back to me three times bad. So I'm a coward.
I should really learn to be a coward because sometimes I just can't help but laugh. But and I know I get it back. I've got siblings and a husband and children. So I get it from all sides.
Uh-oh. Yep. That's when you put up the mirrors. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again, guys. If you don't mind sticking around a minute till the end of the show here so we can talk to you off air.
Yes.
And next week, Marla is actually going to be coming back, and it's going to be a couple others with her. Matt Oxley, who you heard back in mid-February on the 20th, he's coming back. He's an atheist and the founder of RagingRev.com, and also Chris Maggard, Tri-State Paranormal Investigator, is coming on, and all of us are going to have some sort of open floor discussion. Exactly how it's going to work or what it's going to be, I'm not quite sure yet. So it's kind of a surprise.
We do have a title. Tell them the title.
Go ahead.
No, it's your title.
I would have said it if I wanted to say the title.
Oh, good Lord. It's the Paranormal Threesome.
Yes.
Oh, that scares me.
Don't worry, you're in good hands. We won't let anybody hurt you.
Good, okay.
I guess I can see her fear, though.
Yeah, because you're running it.
So come back to, or everyone needs to come back and listen to that. It should be an interesting show, a big old party. And we'll accept.
They don't need to come back. Remember, everybody has free will.
No, they need to come back. It's a command.
Marla and I, we just sit there and we just have signs saying, "We'll come back on your show if you feed us." That's why we'll be there.
Yeah, exactly. It's an easy thing.
And what else was I going to say? Yeah, you messed me up, Ellie.
Before we take off, Marla, why don't you do a plug for your show, and Tim, a plug for yours as well.
Okay, all right. I can be found Thursday nights on Para X. It's called Stirring the Cauldron, and I'm on at 9 o'clock Eastern.
What about your books?
They can be found at Amazon and all over the place, anywhere that sells books, Barnes & Noble and all that, Ghosts of Hollywood, and Workplace Spells, and Animal Magic soon.
And Tim?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just dozing off there for a couple of seconds. I'm sorry. My show, The Black Cat Lounge, is on Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Pararex Radio Network. And come on over and hang out where the elite meet next to the transfer station.
All right. So everyone heard it right here. Go listen to their shows on Monday night and Thursday night. You would think I wasn't listening.
He honestly was.
And come back to listen to Paratrinity Radio every Saturday night. And I think that about wraps it up. Unless...
You didn't do it right. Now I can't say where nothing is sacred correctly.
I haven't done that yet. I was making sure that we're done.
So you ruined it now.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And
yes, thank you all for listening and coming in and chatting with us and having a great old time.
And everyone have a good night. You've been listening to Paratrinity Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Where nothing is sacred.
To Tune in next Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Paratrinity Radio with Mike and Ellie. Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred. Right here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.